There's a lot of talk about mindfulness these days, and mindfulness is often associated with Buddhism and Eastern practices, so many Christian women stay clear of it. Today, I delve into what mindfulness is. Is it okay to practice mindfulness? And if you do, how do you even start? Just looking at the title of today's episode, you can already tell that I will be providing some exercises for you to try out. So let's get to the content. Before we start, I got an email from a listener in Denver, which just warmed my heart. And the listener wrote, "Hi, Janielle, thank you for your podcast. Friday, when I was preparing to present a webinar and didn't feel totally ready, I thought about your comment that your younger self said perfection was taking the fun out of creating the podcast. This helped me to let go of my obsession to get it perfect that day. Thank you. Praying for you and your ministry today. CN." CN, thank you so much. I am happy to hear that you were able to let go of perfectionism around presenting your webinar and you got it done. And thank you for taking the time to drop me a note to let me know how this impacted you. That is really awesome to hear. And I wish you every success and blessings in your continued journey. Hey, sister friend, welcome to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast. Do you want to overcome the wounds and impacts of childhood trauma that are holding you back in life? Do you want to get unstuck, begin thriving, and confidently living God's best in all areas? I'm Janielle, a certified clinical trauma specialist, life coach, trauma thriver, and most of all, a daughter of God living loved and on purpose. In this podcast, I'll share trauma education, healing strategies along with biblical applications and motivational stories to support you in your journey toward trauma healing and thriving. So grab your journal, settle into your favorite spot, and let's begin. As we talk about mindfulness today, let's define what it is, and I'll go to the good old dictionary definition for this. Mindfulness is a mental state achieved by focusing on one's awareness in the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations. Now, I like this definition because it perfectly describes how I use mindfulness as a therapeutic practice. Mindfulness is a great way to reduce stress and anxiety, and it deepens our connection with God. Here's a practical example to think about. You woke up this morning. It's a beautiful morning. You're sipping your favorite hot morning drink, and instead of mentally running through your to-do list or replaying yesterday's conversations, you are fully present. You are feeling the warmth of the mug in your hands. You are smelling the aroma of your hot drink. You're tasting the flavors. And you are aware of the gentle rhythm of your breath. That, my dear sister friends, is mindfulness in action. It's all about embracing the present moment with openness, with curiosity, and most of all, no judgment. That sounds pretty simple, right? It is, but you probably already know if you've ever tried that it's a really hard practice because your mind just keeps going off on a tangent. You're either thinking in the past or planning for the future, but you are rarely ever mindfully present in the present. So why is mindfulness so hard? Why is it so hard to stay present? This can be for a number of reasons, but because of the nature of this podcast, I'll take it first from a trauma perspective. Your past trauma could be impacting your ability to be present or mindful in a few ways. Because of your trauma, you most likely developed a heightened state of hypervigilance and you're constantly scanning your environment for potential threats or for triggers. When you are doing this, it can be really difficult to relax and be fully present in the moment because your trauma might be saying to you, if you sit still, you'll be in danger, or if you sit still, you'll be caught, you could die. Another concern is that some people get flashbacks or intrusive thoughts, because of the traumatic experiences, you can begin re-experiencing distressing memories and the sudden and vivid recollections of past trauma, which will pull you out of the present, and it may even cause you to feel overwhelmed by the emotions and the sensations associated with the traumatic event. So who wants to sit still in silence with these thoughts coming? You wouldn't, right? Another thing is avoidant behavior. And this is a big one. In order to cope, many trauma survivors who experience overwhelming emotions and memories, they engage in avoidant behaviors. This could look like not going to certain places, not seeing certain people, not doing certain activities that remind them of the trauma. And truthfully, avoidance will provide temporary relief, but it is also preventing you from fully engaging with the present moment and experiencing all that life could be. Dissociation is another one. It's a coping mechanism that involves disconnecting from your thoughts and your feelings or your sense of identity. It can show up like feeling disconnected from your body or emotions, or as a sense of being detached from reality, what is happening in the present. If you tend to dissociate, staying grounded in the present moment and maintaining awareness of your thoughts and surroundings will definitely be challenging. What about emotional regulation? Trauma disrupts the ability to regulate emotions, and when people have these heightened emotional reactions or even numbness, they struggle to manage those emotions. They could be fear, anger, or sadness. And while you're struggling to deal with all of these overwhelming emotions, the last thing you would be thinking about is staying present and responding mindfully because you're struggling. The last one I want to touch on in this area is negative core belief, because we know that trauma informs how we think about ourselves, the others, and the world. And usually we come to learn about it or think about it in a negative way. The negative core beliefs could be like, I'm not safe, or I'm unlovable, which makes it difficult to be mindful when you feel like, what's the point of all of this? When you try to stay present, your mind is flooded with these negative thoughts and you don't want to feel like that. There are self-judgments, and being bombarded with these thoughts leads you to distract yourself. Trauma survivors have a lot going on in their minds and in their bodies, so it is understandable why mindfulness would be so difficult. If this is what you're experiencing, so then what can you do? I gave some exercises in episodes 9 and 10 that you can use to address trauma responses in your body, so I won't go over those here in detail. Feel free to revisit those if you need to. Those were the trauma barriers. What about other barriers? And from a Christian perspective, for Christian women, practicing mindfulness can sometimes come with unique barriers or challenges based on their theological or cultural perspective. And one of the cultural concerns some women have is that mindfulness is viewed as a practice rooted in Eastern spirituality or New Age beliefs, and this conflicts with their Christian faith. A lot of women worry that by adopting these practices, it may seem so different to their traditional teachings that they would be doing something wrong. There are some misconceptions about mindfulness, which sort of ties into the previous point. One thought is that people tend to think it is emptying the mind, or again, engaging in practices that are contrary to Christian principles, such as meditation on non-Christian spiritual concepts. This also then leads me into the next barrier, which is the fear of losing focus on God. Christian women fear that dedicating time to mindfulness practices could distract them from their relationship with God or lead them away from prayer and scripture. And these are the priorities in their lives, so they don't want to do anything that would get in the way of that. From a cultural perspective, the cultural stigma within certain Christian communities is that mindfulness could be perceived as trendy or secular. So this stigma prevents women from exploring it as a tool for healing and self-care. whether it's traumatic or whether it's a Christian community or not, the one thing I often hear people struggle with is the lack of guidance. Without proper guidance or the right resources, particularly resources tailored to Christian perspectives, women sometimes struggle to integrate mindfulness practices in their spiritual lives in a way that feels authentic and aligned with their faith. Taking all these barriers into consideration, I'll share with you some ways to address them because from my experience, mindfulness or being present has been hugely beneficial in my emotional and spiritual development, and I've seen the same happen in my clients as well. And before I look at the exercises, let me answer a question that you may be asking. Is mindfulness even biblical? Well, for sure, the term mindfulness doesn't really appear in the Bible, but the essence of being present and attentive certainly does. Think about Jesus, who encouraged his disciples to pause and consider the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air, reminding them to focus on God's loving provision. Psalm 46:10 tells us to be still and know that I am God. Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. These sound pretty mindful to me. And when people hear about the word meditate, they sort of get a bit nervous. But let me just remind you, from a Christian perspective, it is crucial to approach mindfulness, including meditation, with discernment. As followers of Christ, we know that our ultimate guide is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, which gives us direction. So whatever we do, however we practice, we need to be guided by the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that we have defined that and looked at what mindfulness is, let's look at some of the exercises that you can try. And the first category is grounding techniques, and I'll give you two examples in this category. If you are new to mindfulness, I'll start off with one that is really simple and it engages all of your five senses. It's quite popular and you might have already heard about it. It's the 5-4-3-2-1 method. And with this exercise, you would say out loud five things you can see around you, four things you can touch or feel around you, three things you can hear around you, two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste. This is a nice and simple exercise, and it helps to keep you grounded, and you can practice this one at any time. The other grounding exercise that I like can be done no matter what you're doing, so you don't have to worry about implementing or setting time aside to set a new habit into your routine. When I started doing this exercise, I must admit it did take some effort and consistent practice to be aware, but now I'm so glad that it's part of my life. This exercise requires you to engage your senses as much as possible in whatever you're doing. In addition to that, you will describe what's happening in all five senses and then actually say it out loud. So here's an example. Let's say that you're washing dishes. With each action that you take, pay attention to it and say it out loud. For example, I am turning on the tap. I hear the water running down the sink. I am reaching for the sponge. I am putting soap on the sponge. I can feel the water as I hold the sponge under it. I can feel the warmth of the water. I can see the suds of the soap as the water connects with the sponge. I can smell the fragrance of the dishwashing liquid. The idea is to say everything out loud as you're doing it, because while you're doing this, you're noticing what's happening and it keeps your mind focused in the present. When you first start it, you may only be able to do this for about 5 minutes, and that's okay. Whenever you're learning a new practice, start small and increase with time or increase intensity as you go on to give yourself a lot of grace and compassion as you implement and cement it in your routine. These are two simple practices that can help you stay grounded in reality. It quiets your mind and it provides a soothing effect. As I said, I use this as part of my life and I still use it today. There was a time whenever I leave the house, sometimes I will get to my destination and I would be wondering, did I turn off the stove? Did I close the garage door? And this thought would just keep going around in my head, especially the stove. So I would leave my destination, go back home just to check to make sure that the stove was off. And this was happening because I was moving so quickly that I wasn't present when I was doing these things. So now whenever I'm leaving the house, if I was cooking or using the stove, I would say out loud, I am turning off the stove. That registered in my brain that I did it. When I'm leaving the garage, I say, I am closing the garage door. So then I know I don't have to worry about that. I did it. The next exercise for mindfulness is God-focused sensory walk. I love God-focused mindful or sensory walks because it takes me into the presence of God in an intentional way. To do this, you will use the same principles from the grounding exercise, which is to engage your five senses as much as possible. You can have your favorite meditational or gospel music in your ear while you do this, but I would recommend you try going without music first to see how much you can engage your hearing in what is happening around you. And as you start your walk, the purpose is to notice what you can see, hear, touch, smell, and even taste, and make it intentional to focus your effort on each of these. As you begin noticing the things in nature, for example, see if you can recall a scripture or something about God's character that connects you with what you are looking at, or you can say a prayer out loud. It could be a prayer of gratitude for what you are noticing. Here's an example. You are walking along the path near a body of water. There are flowers, there are birds flying above, there is grass along the pathway, you can see ducks in the water, the sun is out, and as you walk, you notice the grass. What can you notice about it? What color is it? What shade? How long is it? What direction is it growing in? Then you notice some flowers. What color are they? What type of flowers are they? How big are they? Do they have a smell? Go up to them, smell them, register the fragrance in your mind, touch them. How do they feel? And so on. You can also use scripture in the form of a prayer such as, God, I thank you for making such beautiful flowers, or I thank you for creating nature and the world, the birds, etc. Because I know when you created the birds, the flowers, whatever, you declared that it was good. And that is taken from Genesis. Do you get the idea? As you do these walks more and more, and as you get comfortable with the practice, you can begin expanding and having conversations with God to help you stay in the moment as well. The final exercise I want to touch on today is the body scan prayer. And you can practice this body scan by intentionally focusing on each part of your body. I talked a bit about this in one of the previous episodes about the body scan, but this is incorporating prayer into it, which is a nice touch, I think. To do the exercise, you can start noticing from your head to your toe, or if you prefer, you can start from your toe to your head while saying prayers of gratitude or healing for each area. You can start by saying things like, thank you, God, for my toes, or you can start focusing and slowing things down by looking at each individual toe, my big toe, my second toe, my middle toe, etc. And if there is something achy or painful in one of your body parts, you can say something like, God, I thank you for my knee. I feel the sensation of pain in my knee. I invite your healing touch. Heal my knee. Take the pain away. And thank you, God, for your healing mercies. That is another way that you can do it. This practice helps you become more aware of your body, and think of the scripture that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, and continue to invite God's presence, giving thanks, and even his healing over the different parts of your body. And there it is, my friends. Three simple ways you can approach mindfulness from a Christian perspective. Now, this is just a sample of what you can do. Based on what I've shared today, you can get creative and develop your own practice, or you can look elsewhere to find other options that can also work for you. As you practice, I hope that you find them beneficial. And you can always come join us over in our Facebook group. You can subscribe to the Shades of Trauma Healing Podcast Insider, or you can send me an email. I'll put all the links down below in the show notes. Until next time, stay blessed, stay mindful, and remember, my friend, that you are dearly loved. Before you go, sister friend, did this podcast episode encourage, inspire, or teach you something new? If so, would you be so kind as to share it with another friend who needs help to overcome her childhood trauma? And don't forget to hop over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and a written review for the show. This way, the show can reach more sisters who need to hear it. Thank you for listening, and know that I am cheering for your healing. I'll be back next week, so until then, take time to breathe and be blessed.